This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Futuro.
Dear listener, before we start, a warning. There's going to be some explicit language in this episode. Okay, here we go. Well, hello, 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 mis angelitas del chisme.
Hi, Maria.
I hope you're ready and rested for your next assignment.
Of course, we're ready.
We're literally born ready for this.
Well, that's good to know because I think this chisme conversation is going to take us on a wild ride. All right, mis queridas Elisa and Monica. You are the angels of chisme, a la Charlie's Angels. Now off you go, my little angels of chisme. From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, el chisme. Why we love it, why we're ashamed of it, and why we won't stop gossiping anyway. So I'm here speaking with our Latino USA fellows, Elisa Baena and Monica Morales Garcia, and I think I have a pretty good idea as to why you brought me here today. I think it has to do with el chisme.
How did you know?
Well, it's the only thing that you girls have been talking about is el chisme.
Well, it all started 7 months ago on our first day as Latino USA fellows. It was after our first team meeting. And because we're working remotely, I'm in Southern California, Elisa is in Miami, we jumped on a Google Meet and almost immediately we began chismeando, or how we say in English, gossiping.
We realized that we were kindred spirits and we immediately felt comfortable with each other because we felt like we were taking a risk.
A risk? You mean by talking to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a risk to talk basura. What else?
Oh, because it was clearly el chisme. Okay.
I mean, it's just something that we fell into without even trying. So there we are. We're feeling bonded. We're feeling connected. And then I started to feel guilty. I think it has something to do with the fact that I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school for 14 years. So I was taught from a very early age that gossip is harmful and immoral, but I still did it all the time.
Elisa, Maria, Can I be brave yet controversial?
Obviously.
Okay.
I didn't feel that guilty chismeando about our coworkers.
Oh.
We didn't say anything bad about them.
Okay.
With some context, I was the cousin in the family that had a bunch of chisme. And me being me, I've always handled those situations by doubling down. So if someone was trying to make some judgment and was like, I know you moved out to be with your boyfriend, I would be like, yeah, and a girlfriend too. Like, if they wanted the scandalo, I was going to give it to them.
Orale.
So, Maria, what is your relationship to chisme?
I think like you, I kind of love el chisme. I have very specific memories about sitting with my mom in the back of our green station wagon with all six of us driving to Mexico every year from Chicago in the middle of winter. And the closer we got to Mexico, the closer it was going to be the moment when we could say, bueno, mamá, y el chisme. And so it became a way of like really embodying my Mexicanness, you know, because I was growing up as a kid in Chicago. And it was a way that I was bonding with my mom.
What I'm hearing is that chisme is a little bit more complicated than we realize.
It is. I think chisme is complicated.
Even though chismeando comes so naturally to us, we've actually been struggling to define chisme. So we wanted to ask you, Maria, how would you define chisme?
Well, if you had to translate it, the simplest way is to say it's gossip. But there's something about chisme which is about storytelling. It's something that is very present in our reality as Latinos and Latinas in the United States. And I think that's the way we're looking at it, or at least that's the way I think you're going to be looking at it in this conversation.
Wow, you've literally read our minds.
I mean, it's hard to define because chisme can mean different things to different people in different contexts. But if we're thinking about chisme on a very basic level, it's talking about someone in their absence. So you're sharing information that you don't necessarily know to be true, but the tea is just too hot for you to not spill.
Immediately in that first conversation we had, we were already asking all those questions. Is it good? Is it bad? How can it be so fun when it's so bad? And is chisme the same as rumor?
And I remember I was being very dramatic with Monica, and I was telling her that I really believe sometimes that I'm evil at my core because I love to chismear.
Dude, evil at the core. Oh my God, what did the monjas do to you, mija? No, that's a bit much.
Yeah, so Elisa and I clearly had different feelings about chisme. But somehow, we were still able to recognize that it was a language we both spoke. And despite growing up in different places and belonging to different communities, I'm Mexican and Salvadorian and Elisa is Cuban American. Chisme was something that we sort of innately understood how to do together. And we felt like that was probably really special.
Mm-hmm. We could already feel that as Latinas, gossip isn't just gossip. It's an identity. It's a way of life.
Well, to get some answers to some of our questions, we need hardcore data. So in the name of chisme science, we're conducting an experiment where we create a chisme and see how far it'll spread. A chisme about you, Maria.
Me? O sea.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be something harmless, but something crazy. As you know, it's actually harder than you would think because we've been workshopping a few ideas with you.
Maria was in the DR for so long because she was filming a movie with Lin-Manuel Miranda and she was going to be the next star.
Like a sexy movie.
Hustlers or something.
What I thought you were going to say was, oh yeah, Maria was in the Dominican Republic so long, we think she just had a baby. Okay, well, I want to hear the other ideas.
We didn't have any other ideas. Those were all of our ideas.
But I think I have something. Maria, so you know how you have this big, bouncy, voluminous hair?
Yes. It's all about the hair and the hoops. Yes.
So if we see it, it's always done up. But if we don't see it, it's always wrapped up in a turban. So how about we make people believe that your big bouncy locks actually don't belong to you? It's not your real hair. It's a wig.
You know, I have my tricks as to how I make it voluminous, mm-hmm. but I could see how that could potentially work.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we're going to do. Since we have more questions than answers, I think we're going to go on a little bit of a chisme quest. And to do that, we're going to have to speak to some chisme experts from different fields to find out why chisme is so central to our lives as Latinas.
And finally, we're going to get a little bit sneaky and talk to the team to see if this wig chisme lights up like fire.
Bueno, Elisa. Bueno, Monica. So you have your assignment. You've pried a lot out of me regarding chisme so far. And I'm very intrigada. I'm using the chisme voice. I'm very intrigued about what you're going to come up with in your journey into el chisme. So off you go, and I'll see you on the other side. Vamos a chismear en un ratito.
When we first set off on our chisme quest, Monica and I realized that we had something else in common. We're both huge fans of The Real Housewives.
Because I've heard that, and someone at this table has been talking behind her back.
Giselle, you tacky as hell.
You didn't come as a friend at all.
You're done.
So it's a reality TV franchise on Bravo that follows the everyday lives of wealthy women from different areas. So think lots of dinner parties, workout classes, international vacations, shopping trips, obviously. But of course, they look really good and really expensive.
Very expensive. And while Lisa and I were watching the new season of The Real Housewives of Miami,
what are you talking about? Tú eres tremenda chismosa and you know it.
We had an epiphany. We thought, maybe we love Housewives because chisme is everything on the show. We realized it's used as a narrative device, so it creates storylines and builds so much tension that a screaming match is the most appropriate form of conflict resolution.
So we set up a conversation with two Real Housewives of Miami, Marisol Patton and Alexia Echevarria.
So today, starring on this show, is my best friend, Alexia Echevarria, center mojito carrier of The Real Housewives of Miami.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction. And on the other side, we have my best friend, Marisol.
We want to set the scene really quick. Marisol is laying on her couch, like horizontally, with a beat face and a high pony. And Alexia is sitting in the living room of her palatial two-story penthouse with a beach view.
There have only been a few Latinas across the Real Housewives franchise, except on the Real Housewives of Miami. And as we were watching the show, it became obvious that there were parallels between how chismosas and how housewives are perceived, as they're seen as tacky, simple-minded, and flamboyant.
Should I introduce you as a chismosa?
No, because the only thing that we are not is chismosa.
I don't know about that because we live in Miami, El Pueblo.
Chisme Central.
Exactly.
I like to call it, we share information.
Yes. And when it's amongst us good friends, it's not chisme. It's just information and we need to be educated.
So do you think that Latina women have a reputation of gossiping more than non-Latinas?
I know. They're all terrible.
I know, but she's asking if you think they have a reputation. I think, yes, I think we're stereotyped because it comes from history, like from back in the day.
More than gringas?
Yeah, at the end of the day, if you're a woman, you're a chismosa.
Eso.
Oh, wait, but there's men que son chismoso también. I know some men que son más chismoso que las mujeres.
Que las mujeres.
It's crazy. Like when there's a guy that's a chismoso, like be careful. Like they're like the worst.
They are the worst. So why do you think that chisme is so addicting?
I think it's a mindless conversation. It's the easiest conversation for anyone to have. You're not talking about politics, religion. You don't have to be educated to chismear. Anybody across the board can make a comment about somebody else and another person will jump in and they get into it.
Right. And you know also why it's so easy? Because you're not talking or chismeando about yourself. You're doing it about somebody else. So it's so easy to talk about somebody you don't even know. That's why we all do it.
I'm staying quiet. Stop saying we all do it. Like you're waiting for me to jump in.
Alexia's family drama was carrying this last season. Her now husband, Todd, who she said is the first gringo she's ever kissed, by the way, had a huge blowout with her son.
What'd I say? That you're a loser.
Yeah.
That you're going
to
wind up in jail. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
Alexia said herself that this fight was the worst moment in her life. And it's out there for anyone in the world to watch and form an opinion about.
Alexia, you've been a reality TV star and a public figure for over a decade now. You could say that part of your job is to humiliate yourself on TV because you're exposing your real life drama as plot points. What was that like this last season?
For me, it hasn't been humiliating at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's been therapeutic and healing because these were chismes that were always said about me and my family. And now I'm like, you know what, guys? It's my story. It's not a chisme anymore. Like, this is what it is. You know, I'm to the point in my life that I don't give a shit. You know, I'm in my 50s and I really don't give a shit what you think about me or my family. I know who I am. This is my time now to say it how it is and share it with the world. And hopefully me being an inspiration for people not to be ashamed, to be proud of who you are and of your life experiences and to learn from them. And you know what? Sometimes you got to put those chismes to rest.
You can't let other people control your chisme, right, Alexia?
Right, exactly.
That's your story.
So there's something else we wanted to ask you about. We wanted to come to you for some professional advice.
Yes.
Oh, because we're the expert chismosas that you have to come to us?
We have a lot of experience in este tema. So yes, tell us, how can we help you?
So we started a chisme about our boss.
That her hair isn't her real hair. It's a wig.
A wig? That's boring. Una peluca? That's not a good one. Why do you say she has like a fake leg or something? Does she wear a lot of pants?
Well, they're trying to keep their job. Remember, it's their boss. Okay? It depends, you know, the team. It depends on who the person is. But this is like their boss. So they can't be, you know, they can't take it overboard.
I have an idea how you make this fun. You tell her, we're going to start saying you have a fake leg. Start limping around the office. No. Let's see how many people fall into the trap. I don't know. You got to come up with something more exciting than a peluca.
Oh, my God. I would never.
Let me tell you something. The best chisme, I think, is when you look someone in the eyes and you sound convincing.
Ooh, you sound like an expert, Marisol. And then you didn't want me to call you a chismosa.
Oh, I just play one on TV.
Coming up on Latino USA, our chisme angels continue their investigation into how gossip has shaped their identity as Latinas. And the stakes surrounding their chisme start to build as they travel further into a chismosa's universe. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. And they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, we're back. And before the break, Latino USA fellows Elisa Baena and Monica Morales Garcia launched their quest to understand the significance of chisme, or gossip, in the U.S. Latino experience. They did so by talking to some professional chismosas, the Real Housewives of Miami. Here are Elisa and Monica once again.
Monica. The Miami Housewives really wanted us to form un escándalo with our chisme experiment.
Fake leg aside, they did have some interesting points. The best chisme does require a little bit of work. And in order for a chisme to be convincing, there has to be a body of supporting evidence so that it fits into a larger story.
I think that I know someone who's really good at getting straight to the source. And like the Housewives, she's also paid to chisme out on TV.
Hi, everybody. I am Liliana Vasquez. Formerly, I was the anchor for E! News. I've been at Access Hollywood. I spent 7 years at the Today Show. And I think most people really know me from my years as a style expert on daytime TV.
So, Monica, you know how I graduated from college in the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which means that I also entered the workforce virtually.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling really isolated. And every day during my lunch break, I would watch Daily Pop.
this is just talk.
Okay, that's just talk. Carney, do you think
I don't know.
You think it could be a possibility?
I would describe it as a live gossip session where hosts are delivering and reacting to celebrity news. And Liliana was often a co-host during this time.
You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm only a chisme scientist. But it sounds to me like you had high levels of chisme deficiency, that you weren't getting it in the office, so you had to get it from TV.
When it comes to entertainment news, there's two different types of stories. There is a story that always has to be led with allegedly, and then there is the stories that are confirmed. As a journalist, I take that very, very seriously when I report entertainment news. But as somebody who loves pop culture, I also love to talk and speculate about stories that need to be led with the word allegedly. And they're both equally fun to tell, but the ones people definitely want to talk about are the allegedly stories.
Yes, I love those.
But I do believe where there is smoke, there is fire. And you just have to do the work to find the fire.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So why is celebrity chisme such big business?
I think people sometimes forget that these celebrities are true brands. And there is a machine that is there to protect that brand. And they want to control the narrative. They want to really control when a story breaks, how it breaks, how much you know about that story. And it's not just them. The media is also in on it.
Mm.
I've gotten a call 10 minutes before I'm about to go on air that's like, we're killing this story because so-and-so's person called and they don't want to talk about it. Or you got this soundbite in an interview, they want it gone. And I'm like, well, I don't want it gone. They're like, right, well, we've got to play the game. What you're hearing is a watered-down version because you're talking about millions, if not billions of dollars at stake here.
So just like there's big tech, there's big chisme.
I mean, chisme is what makes the world go round.
So like, which celebrity does the best job of curating and mitigating their chisme?
J-Lo and A-Rod. You're talking like exponential coverage.
She's one of the biggest stars in the world, and he is one of the biggest athletes of all time. Could the two of them now be striking up a new romance?
Amazing for business. Good for both of them. I think at times there are people like, oh, this is great for him. It was great for him. It was great for her. Because I always think that when you take two A-list stars and put them together, you get a double A. They blended the families. J-Lo was co-parenting with Mark Anthony, and then they were at church with A-Rod. So it's like two massive celebrities in their own right. Combine them together for like superstar power, and then they like the press. Oh my God. It was a win-win for everybody.
If you add J-Lo and A-Rod's net worths, it's over $500 million. They've invested in luxury real estate, tech startups. J-Lo has her own skincare line, J-Lo Beauty. And just as they sold that power couple narrative to the public, that was probably the same story they were selling to their investors.
Mm-hmm. And after her breakup with A-Rod, J-Lo got back together with Ben Affleck, and now they're engaged. But how do you think that this girl announced that she's engaged to Ben Affleck?
How?
By posting a teaser on her social media and then telling fans that they had to sign up for her newsletter in order to hear the full story.
Wow. The chisme baiting never ends. So what do you think the relationship between chisme and storytelling is?
Storytelling is just refined chisme. And it kind of makes sense that I went into this field because I want to know the stories. I want to ask the questions. And I have an ability to tell a story live that is really unique to me. And that is because I think I've practiced it for so long in front of my cousins at the dinner table, like at the carne asada, at the quinceañera. And there's a way that you tell the chisme that gets everybody engaged and brings everyone into the conversation. And if you were the one leading that, there definitely is a performance aspect of that.
No, totally. The delivery is super important.
Because when you're telling it to an audience, you want to be gentle. You want to give it pause. You want to get the reactions because based on their reactions, what's the next part of the story that you're going to reveal? And are you going to tease it out? Are you going to leave them wanting more? Are you going to get up, go get a drink of water so that they're like, come back, come back? And that's essential, you know, as a host, as somebody who works on camera, to be able to do that, it's a very critical skill to have, and not everybody can do it.
So we took Liliana's advice and used our best storytelling skills to share our little experiment with her.
And like the housewives, she was not impressed.
No, girl, next level. Say that she was just vacationing at Mar-a-Lago.
No!
Not Mar-a-Lago. Oh my God.
That's the mic drop. That's it right there.
So it turns out that chisme can influence anything from the media that we consume to the products that we buy. And meanwhile, there are people getting rich from our thirst for chisme.
Yeah, I mean, if celebrities are brands, chisme feeds the beast.
So it's clear that chisme can be really influential. And maybe it has been that way forever. I feel like we need to dive into the role of chisme throughout history.
My name is Ana Rodriguez Navas. I am an associate professor of Latin American literature and culture at Loyola Chicago. And my most recent book is a book on gossip, which is why we're here.
So, doctora, in your book, Idle Talk, Deadly Talk, you look at how gossip in the Caribbean isn't just a tool, it's a weapon. So while it can build communities, it can also destabilize them. And something that you also get into is the difference between the etymology of gossip and chisme. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
So in English, we use the word gossip pretty indistinguishably from the Spanish chisme, right? But at its origin, they're very different. So the word gossip comes from godsib, which basically means madrina. So the word gossip is rooted in kinship, in that kind of chatter or talk between godparents. It describes a specific act. Whereas chisme, for us in Spanish, the origin of the word is much more oppositional. It derives either from the word for bedbug, which is obviously an unpleasant, nasty creature, or the word for schism, which can mean division, rupture, break.
This really surprised me because chisme, to me, has more of a positive connotation than gossip. Another distinction that you make in your book is that the terms gossip and rumor are often used interchangeably, but that doesn't mean that they're identical. So with rumors, you don't necessarily know where they're coming from, and they tend to be more conspiratorial. But gossip has almost more credibility because it's more personal and it's transmitted from one person to the next. So it's the whole, you know, you didn't hear this from me, but...
Yes, exactly. Gossip is very, very, very elastic. And it's really hard to overstate how different it can be and how much it changes while still being recognizable as gossip.
So look, Dora, we've actually been speaking to several professional chismosas. And now that I'm thinking about it, we've only wanted to talk to women and we never even bothered to ask why that was. I'm starting to think that it might have something to do with the internalized belief that we gossip more or que las mujeres somos más chismosas, but where does that belief even come from?
Historically, there's been that suggestion that real men, quote unquote, don't gossip. So where does that come from? Well, women were historically excluded from the public sphere. We weren't the ones writing in newspapers or doing the public speaking or attending political meetings. So it's in the private sphere where we found our voice. But it's also important to recognize that women were not the only ones gossip. What happens is that men use their public speech to label women's private speech as inferior while ignoring their own private speech or not acknowledging what they're doing as a form of gossip too.
Interesting. So is that maybe why women have been told that gossiping is bad and something that we should feel guilty about doing?
You know, gossip is something that we all do. But what happens is that when people talk about gossip as not respectable or something that is a terrible thing to do, it's really what you're seeing is an attempt to police other people's gossip and to dismiss their voice.
Exactly. And as you explore in your research, this isn't something new. So throughout history, what has been the relationship between gossip and power?
Gossip has been historically a brush used by the oppressor to paint the oppressed. So it's happened with indigenous men, with peasants and farmers, with gay people, all of whom have been talked about as being lazy, good-for-nothing gossipers. But what is happening in those cases is that those in power are first excluding those groups from public discourse and then disqualifying their private discourse as nothing but gossip.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. So can you give us an example of what that looks like in Latin America?
Whether it's slavery or colonization or dictatorships, our region has been marked, unfortunately, by systems of power that don't represent large sectors of the population. Precisely because gossip is illicit and furtive, it is a way for people to circumvent those controls. They're able to challenge official versions of events, to say what they think really happened, and to circulate important knowledge, to preserve their voices and their experiences.
Yeah, I mean, this is really resonating with me. In the afternoons, I used to sit in the sala of my childhood home with my bisabuelas, and they would, you know, tell me a lot of stories. It was usually a lot of cautionary tales, sometimes about men, but also about government repression in Cuba. So it is affirming to know that that is also a form of chisme.
Gossip is a fundamental part of the kind of information control of repressive political systems. And it sort of works both ways. It can be extremely beneficial and it can be extremely repressive. So for instance, if someone gossips with you and tells you, hey, be careful with a neighbor, turns out that he's, you know, connected to the authorities, you know that if you want to be safe, you're not going to tell anything that might jeopardize you or your family to this neighbor, right? Anything that is against the government.
This reminds me of the Comités de Defensa de la Revolución in Cuba, which are basically networks of chismosos whose job is to snitch on their neighbors to the government if they see or hear or suspect of any illegal activity.
Yes, that's a perfect example of that. That's one, and there are many, and this sadly continues to happen. And I want to point out that in this example, we're talking about men, right? All the way.
Yes, all the way. It's always the men.
Gossip, for us in the diaspora, is a really important way to reclaim stories that are at risk. So, for instance, if you think about family gossip, it's not just chatter. It's also a way of preserving something important, of reclaiming lost memories, lost history, of filling out silences. There's a kind of oral history of the community that is authentic, that emerges from gossip.
Monica, I think I'm having a moment.
Oh my God, tell me.
For maybe selfish reasons, my main goal in this quest has been to demystify chisme, because obviously I'm very desperate to drop my guilt. But I think that it's distracted me from seeing how chisme has actually helped me form and craft my Cuban American identity.
How so?
When I think about when I feel the most Latina, it's when I'm chismeando with my tías and my cousins. It's late at night, everybody's defenses are down. And that's when I'm not trying to check my Miami accent because I think it makes me sound less educated or something.
You know, I've only recently been able to think of myself as respectable. And I think a lot of that is because so much of my Latinx identity is deeply tied with class and gender. And my experience in being this working class, flamboyant, she-de Latina with a huge butt, I know that my words have never really carried much weight, but it has been that act of dismissal that has always fueled my desire to just own my truths, own my chismes. Because for me, there's been nothing more powerful than just living in my truth.
All right, welcome back, mis angelitas del chisme. So, how did the assignment go?
We have so much to share.
Oh my God.
Okay, so we first talked to two reality TV stars from The Real Housewives of Miami. And they had some interesting suggestions about our chisme, Maria.
Una peluca. That's not a good one. Why do you say she has like a fake leg or something?
Okay, that's like the craziest thing I've ever heard. That what's easier to make people believe is that I have a fake leg, not that I'm using weight.
Our second expert was an entertainment journalist, and she wanted us to take it even further.
Say that she was just vacationing at Mar-a-Lago.
Wow. I think she knows me, because to do that one, that's some pretty serious cheese, man. That could destroy my career.
Right? Good thing we spoke to our last expert, Doctora Rodriguez Navas, who reminded us that chisme is supposed to be organic. It's not supposed to be fabricated. So in this case, our experiment took an unexpected turn.
Okay, I'm totally confused and intrigued now. I want to know what happened.
Okay, so what we're saying is that we didn't end up telling anybody on our team that you wear a wig.
Oh.
We learned that the space where chisme happens is really vital because you need to build that intimacy and confianza. You got to look people in the eye. But because we're all working remotely, we realized that spreading the chisme wasn't really going to happen as naturally as we wanted.
In other words, chisme has actually taken a hit during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. It was a really unexpected loss.
I did wonder, how do you start chisme up when you're not all in the office? So yeah, the pandemic hit again.
We were also just thinking, what if we did start spreading this chisme? What if we started having meetings with other producers and we were like, hey, guess what? Maria's hair is fake. What if that was an invitation for them to say some really mean, nasty things about your hair?
The thing about chisme is that it can go dark. It can get cruel. And it can be used as a takedown.
Yeah, I mean, we also have to remember that chisme is a way that belief systems are built and also maintained. So for example, if I'm talking to una señora and she's gossiping to me about how someone gained weight and she's framing it as something shameful, that chisme is not going to be fun for me because body shaming is against my personal ethical code.
And so that is the other side of chisme, where we can be laughing and joking, but then it's like, there was a crossover right there. And I understand that that would have been hard. Also, if anybody said anything bad about my hair, I'd have to come at them. No, just kidding.
So even though we didn't end up spreading the wig chisme, I think that we still came out on top because we had a breakthrough. We learned that we come from a long line of chismosas who, like us, knew that gossip isn't just silly women's talk. It deserves more respect because it can be a tool for resistance.
Yes, exactly. It's an ancestral language.
A save for chisme right there.
And, you know, this experiment has made us realize that it's not even so much what we're chismeando about, but rather the connection that chisme is creating.
My BS and I live such different lives, and sometimes it's hard to find things to talk about, but we can always talk about Thalia, always. Chisme creates commonalities for us to discuss and discuss passionately and energetically and have fun together.
Gossip for us is a real important connective tissue, connecting us US Latinas to Latin America, connecting us within our communities, right? It can be a bridge. So that sense of belonging, that sense of being part of that community is heightened with the gossip.
Ay, Dios mío. This is like a therapy session.
See, that's it. You know, for me, chisme is like bonding, in particular with family, and joy and storytelling. I mean, when I understood that what my mom was doing during the time that we were chismeando was actually telling me great stories, it was a turning point for me. I was like, wait, I'm a storyteller too. And that basically changed like my whole life.
I think I'm hearing that since we're all professional storytellers, we're also professional chismosas. And you know what? That is nothing to be ashamed of. It is what gives us our power.
Ooh, yes, our powers.
It's official because the científicas del chisme have told us. So Elisa, Monica, your assignment is now complete. I am blessing you to go off to chismear until you can't anymore, and that you're spreading the gospel of chisme as resistance. So until your next assignment, off you go, my little Angels of Chisme. This episode was produced by Las Chismosas, Elisa Baena and Monica Morales Garcia, and edited by another chismosa, Marta Martinez. It was mixed by chismosas Stephanie Lebeau and Julia Caruso. The Latino USA team includes chismosos y chismosas Andrea López Cruzado, Daisy Contreras, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Patricia Zulbarán, Alejandra Salazar, Reinaldo Leaños Jr. and Julia Rocha with help from Raúl Pérez. Our editorial director is Julio Ricardo Varela. Our associate engineers are JJ Carubin and Gabriela Baez. Our marketing manager is Luis Luna. Our fellow is Andrew Viñales. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. I'm the OG Chismosa host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. Remember, como decimos las chismosas, no te vayas. And we'll see you on our next episode. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
Here's some chisme for you. You want something to chisme at? I'm about to give you something to chisme at.
From PRX.